Well, thank you, Mr. Marker, and good afternoon to everyone. It's always nice to be able to meet here in person and see all of you here as well. And welcome to any who are listening online, too. Now, have you ever tried to count your blessings? It's an interesting exercise to try to go through. We find that God blesses us in many ways. We're all well aware of at least some of the major blessings we receive or have received from Him. These blessings are, or at least they can be, very obvious, some of them anyway. But when we look beyond the obvious blessings, we can find many other blessings that we often overlook or may be completely unaware of. Now, this message is one of encouragement, and I hope that you do find it encouraging. And in the message, I'll ask us to consider three general types of blessings in our lives. Now, I'll list these three general categories as we come to them. The title of this sermon is, We Can Never Count All of Our Blessings. We can never count all of our blessings. The first category of blessings is our obvious physical blessings. So that's the first category, obvious physical blessings. And when we think of the many ways that God has blessed us, these are likely the first blessings or types of blessings that come to mind. Now, some of these obvious physical blessings may include, well, of course, our calling into the church, being able to meet together freely and openly here in person. In many parts of the world, religious observances and freedoms are much more limited and restrictive than we have here. And when we think about all of the people and the friendships and the memories that we've developed over our years within the church, along with our future expectations of life in God's kingdom, this has to be at or near the top of a list of our blessings. And I look around, and every person I look at brings some type of memory back to mind, some experience, friendships. So that's one physical blessing. Our second physical blessing is our supply of and access to food, shelter, clothing, and other basic needs of life. For the most part, we can still take for granted that we can find and buy the food we need, maybe not necessarily the exact type or brand, but certainly we can find something that is nourishing for us. Prices have gone up, of course, and there have been shortages, but still we've been able to supply our needs. Affordable shelter and clothing are available, as is help if anyone needs it, if and when needed. And we also have access to transportation. All of us made it here somehow, whether we drove or rode with someone or came by other means. And we can still get gas for our cars. In some places there have been gas shortages. Another thing is, we know about God's holy days, and we've been given a wide choice of options for attending the Feast of Tabernacles. And for anyone who is unable to travel to or otherwise to attend in person, we can attend virtually. There are at least a couple of options there. I know that if it weren't for the Feast of Tabernacles, I would not have traveled nearly as much or as often as I have. Having that set time of year is just something that motivates you to decide on where you want to go and make plans for when you get there, what you're going to do, who you're going to be with, who you're going to see. It's a very exciting time of year. And another blessing is that in general, we have the physical health to be able to make plans for our physical futures. And if we are not in ideal health, we have access to medical care and treatments as needed. So all these and many others are the first things that come to mind when we, or when at least I, think about our physical blessings. Now, this isn't to suggest that our lives are completely without trials and problems. We also need to recognize how temporary some of these blessings may be. Our physical health, no matter how excellent it may seem to be, is only temporary. These bodies aren't made to last forever. And this is evidenced by the numbers of seemingly healthy people who've been affected by the coronavirus and its variants. We've seen images of the recent effects of Hurricane Ida and complete devastation in parts of Louisiana and other areas. Those physical things that were there have been destroyed. In many cases, whole towns have been wiped out. The heat and fires, parts of the western U.S., and even in northern Minnesota and Canada, have also been severe. Severe enough for them to close the Boundary Waters area, although that's opening up again now. Or think about the people in Haiti. Haiti is a very poor nation to begin with, but they've had to deal with the murder of their president. They've had a destructive earthquake. They've had tropical storms. And it's been devastating to them. But all of this helps us realize and recognize how fragile and temporary our physical blessings can be. So we can't base our entire future and lives on expectations of these physical blessings. So that was the first general category, our obvious physical blessings. The second general category of blessings is what I'll call blessings in disguise. Blessings in disguise. Now, in general, this is some event or situation in our life that appears to be completely opposite from what we were hoping for or planning for and expecting. I previously have given the example in my own life of needing to cancel my plans to go to graduate school. I had my 4-year degree and was planning to go on to graduate school and pursue a career in teaching. But those plans were changed. Now, this was back in the Vietnam War days, and the draft was in effect. And my student deferment from the draft expired once I completed my undergraduate studies. This deferment was only good for 4 years. And after that, you were considered available for drafting. Now, I had tried to extend this to get it to cover me for a year or two of graduate school. And I even went before our local draft board and presented my case and circumstances, but they wouldn't extend my student draft or my student deferment. And soon after that, I became eligible for the draft. About 3 months later, I received my greeting letter. We always referred to it as greetings because that's the way it started out. But it wasn't very cheerful greetings. But the letter told me when and where to report for Army basic training in preparation for a 2-year stint in the Army. I definitely didn't look at that as being a blessing. But on the other hand, appealing to the draft board allowed me to continue at my current job for about 3 more months, which gave me more work experience. And after basic training, that additional work experience qualified me for a technical position at a place that I don't know if anyone has heard of it unless they've been in the military. It's at Fort Huachuca, Arizona. It's southwest, I believe, of Tucson. And there, of course, I was nowhere near any immediate danger of being called over to Vietnam. This technical position required a 4-year degree and 6 months work experience. I had the degree, and because I had appealed to the draft board and got that additional time on my job, I had the experience that I needed to get into one of these positions. It was a new type of position they were establishing. They called it S&E for science and engineering, or scientific and engineering. And then they had categories in math and biology and economics, and I don't remember what other categories they had, but I fell into the math one. So that's where I wound up, and it wasn't bad. I was working with a very good group of people who were like-minded as I was. They were also math majors. We had a lot in common. And they became good friends. I kept in touch with some of them for some time afterwards. Of course, this was, 50 years ago now, about. But so I've lost touch. But they were a good group to work with. And then one of my assignments there involved traveling overseas. I was traveling. I had recently taken a class, and I was asked to travel with a civilian at our Army base who was going to be teaching that same class overseas. And because I had just taken it, he asked if I would be able to come along with him. So I did. Now, this was a rather nice assignment. We traveled overseas to Honolulu, Taiwan, and Thailand, with stops in Hong Kong and Tokyo. Now, it was rough, but I put up with it. And then because he was a civilian, he couldn't stay in the Army barracks. If I had been there with another enlisted person, we would have had to stay in the barracks. So I had to stay the same first-class hotels that he stayed in. Don't feel too sorry for me. But that furthered my interest in international travel. Well, and that wasn't the end of the blessings, because when I got back, my employer in Minneapolis was required to hold my position open for me upon my return from the Army. That was a government command, that if you were drafted, your employer had to hold your spot open for you, that or an equivalent spot. And that led to a career that lasted until my retirement. So what at first seemed to be anything but a blessing turned out to truly be one of the best blessings of my life. And in retrospect, I am discovering that I really wouldn't have been cut out for a teaching career anyway, so I'm glad it didn't turn out the way I wanted. Now, I'm sure that many or most of you can come up with similar situations where a change in life initially seems to be a huge disappointment, but it actually turns out to be a tremendous blessing. How and why does this happen? Well, God knows all about every one of us. He has plans for us, and he does his part to make us ready to accomplish those plans. We don't know what they are, but God knows, and he'll work behind the scenes to make that happen. Matthew 6:16, you don't need to turn there, it says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And that definitely happens. That was Matthew 6:16. Now let's consider another biblical example. What about Daniel? He must have had his uncertainties about how God was using him, because it seemed that he was continually being tested. And we can read about some of the trials and tests that he was put through. But Daniel trusted in God. Consider how Daniel was rescued and put in high authority. Look at Daniel 2. We'll be reading, first 12 verses of that chapter, if you want to turn there or if you want to just listen. Daniel 2, starting in verse 1. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I've had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans said, fine. O king, live forever. In verse 4, tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." So they answered and again said, "Well, tell us the dream and we will give its interpretation." Now, what kind of position is that to be put in? If any one of you came up to me and said, "Tell me the dream I had last night and tell me what it meant," I wouldn't know where to begin. I could throw out a wild stab, and maybe that would apply to someone, but not to the person I was talking to. So that's the spot they were in. And the king answered in verse 8 and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." Again, the king insisted that. I don't know if he didn't remember the dream himself or if he was just testing them. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests. There is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh." Then verse 12, "For this reason the king was very angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them." Now, this is the spot that Daniel was in. He had seen or heard of how all the Chaldeans were being killed. And now he hears that they're after him and his three friends. His life is next. But things changed because God revealed the dream to Daniel, and Daniel was able to reveal the dream and its interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 46, again, Daniel 2. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him." Now, just try to picture this. Here is Daniel in front of the king, and it's the king who is bowing down before Daniel. "The king answered Daniel and said, 'Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret.' And then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over the affairs of the province of Babylon.' But Daniel sat in the gate of the king, the highest honor that could be given to anyone in the kingdom, and was given to Daniel." We don't know what emotions Daniel was going through at the time, but his many trials, and this wasn't the only one, there were the others that led up to it, remember the lion's den and other things. His many trials may have led him to believe that he wasn't being blessed. He seemed to be facing one trial after another. Now, ultimately, he was rewarded, but that reward didn't come easily or quickly. But in the end, it all turned out to be a blessing in disguise, just as I was describing. I don't think that any of us would have been able to conduct our lives as well as Daniel did under those circumstances. Now, God sees and knows everything about us and about our lives. He tells us that he sees in secret, but rewards us openly. We don't want to miss out on that reward by giving up when it seems like everything is going wrong. We have to hang in there. Now, in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, consider what Matthew has to say about it. You can turn there if you want. I'll just read the first four verses of Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 1, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." And then verse 3 and 4 are what I wanted to get to. Verse 3, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." So God, we may think that God doesn't know or care about what's happening in our lives, what circumstances we're in, but he sees and he knows, and he will reward us openly when the time comes. God keeps many things secret, in part because they're beyond our understanding, and he may choose to keep our good deeds a secret as well until the time comes for him to respond to them. So that was the second category. The first one was our obvious physical blessings. The second category is blessings in disguise. And now the third category is one that we can only speculate about, in that these blessings are often completely hidden from us. How many times does it seem that something just happens? How can we determine whether God intervened in our life to prevent some accident or trial from occurring? When we decide on the spur of the moment to take this road instead of that road, for example, only to find out that if we had taken that road, we would have been stuck in traffic or perhaps involved in an accident. God often works in the background, oftentimes to prevent disaster events from happening to us in our lives. We may also may become aware of blessings that become apparent only when viewed in retrospect. For example, we may consider some goal or plans that never came about, and we may have wondered why those plans seem to be continually blocked. It's only later in life that we recognize that things ultimately worked out much better than we could have hoped, and that our initial goals would not have been as successful as we had imagined them to be, and that was the example that I gave you about my college and the Army. In Romans 16:5, don't turn there, we hear about the mystery kept secret since the world began. That and other secrets, including our hidden blessings, will be revealed when the time is right. The Army situation I mentioned earlier was one of these secret hidden blessings that I didn't recognize at the time, but it became more apparent in later years as I look back on it. Another secret hidden blessing to consider is how often we seem to be protected behind the scenes. There's one evening several years ago, it was a winter evening, I was on I won't call it a heavy road, but it was a four-lane road, local road really, in fairly light traffic. I came to a bend in the road, and instead of following the road to the right, my car skidded into the left lane, and there was a car coming right at me. I was certain that I was going to be hit by that car. And even today, I don't know how we were able to pass each other safely. I don't remember him going around me. We didn't hit, but something happened. God was there, he was watching. So I don't know the answer to that, but it's one that I look back on as a secret hidden blessing. Maybe many of you can come up with several similar situations in your own lives. We're all being protected by God in ways that we can't even imagine. If we were somehow able to see a list of every such incident in our lives, first of all, it would be a truly long list, probably a whole book full of ways that God has protected us. If we saw that list, we'd feel very blessed and very humbled to consider all the trouble that we were causing by our carelessness or other things that we do. Several verses in the Bible indicate that things of God, which are secrets to us now, will be revealed in the future. At that time, we may be able to understand how many times and how frequently God worked behind the scenes to bless us. Let's consider some of the scriptures that describe this. Romans 16:25 talks about the mystery kept secret since the world began. And we've been hearing sermons about the mysteries of God and many of Mr. Shaw's recent sermons. And that's in Romans 16:25, just mentioned, where it says, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. That mystery is God working behind the scenes. Matthew 13:35 tells us that secrets will be revealed, as Christ says that he will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's mentioned in Matthew 13:35. Won't turn there. And Amos 3:7, another verse that I won't turn to, Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And other scriptures indicate that God will reveal secrets, not to just to his prophets, but to us as well. For example, Luke 8:17, again, you don't need to turn there. Luke 8:17 says, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. And another verse that mentions that is Deuteronomy 29:29. Again, it's just a short verse that you don't need to turn to, but Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, the last thing that I want to mention about our secret hidden blessings is one that we likely wouldn't consider to be a blessing at all. What about the many trials we all face in life? How can a trial possibly be a blessing? It doesn't seem that trials should belong in a message about blessings, because no one likes to go through trials. Many in this room have faced severe trials in your lifetimes. The loss of a mate, a parent, or other family member is tragic, and it has lifelong effects. Sickness and disease could be very serious and unbearable. And we see prayer requests regarding church members in various parts of the world going through horrible trials. But have you ever thought about how a person going through a trial may change and become more empathetic toward others? A person who has suffered through a major trial can become a tremendous blessing to someone else who faces the same situation. And during a trial, we may feel that, well, no one understands what I'm going through. And we feel that the only person who could truly understand what we're going through is someone else who's experienced the same situation. And that person can be a pillar of support by showing us honest empathy and understanding. And by doing so, that becomes a secret hidden blessing for that person. The trial you face may be a secret hidden blessing for someone else, because it allows you to understand and to help them through the same trial themselves. So that completes the third category of blessings, and I'll summarize now what we talked about today. In this message, I talked about three general categories of blessings in our lives. Number one was our obvious physical blessings. These are the ones that we're most aware of, and these are also the easiest to describe. It's easy to begin a list of our physical blessings, but the deeper we dig, the longer that list becomes, because there are so many ways physically that we are blessed. Number two, second type of blessing is our blessings in disguise. These are situations that seem to be completely contrary to what we may be hoping for, planning for, preparing for. In retrospect, though, we find that these seemingly bad experiences have turned out to be great blessings in disguise. We don't realize it right away, but later we find out that that was true. And the third category is our secret hidden blessings. This is the most obscure. We could never list everything that God does for us behind the scenes. The extra protection we didn't even know we needed or we were being given. God is always looking out for us in ways that we're often completely unaware of. Every one of us is important to God. And we can try to count our blessings, and we may come up with a long list of physical blessings and even blessings in disguise, but we can never even suspect all of our secret hidden blessings. We are truly blessed in many ways, and the more blessings we try to count, the more we realize that we can never count all of our blessings.